Liga Mail.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamaras.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else with your time.
Anything else. And if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, you guys know that we've got a Patreon where you can get tons more content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spinoff series Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. We were off this week because it was July 4th, and we were celebrating slash atoning.
The tiniest country.
We were reflecting.
Yeah.
We were reflecting and also looking at fireworks.
Yeah.
But this week, I think I'm going to talk about some more Love Island drama.
People are getting kicked off for racial slurs.
People are being removed for things that were posted to their Instagram story. And that is what I think I'm going to talk about, but I do reserve the right if something else comes up.
But you guys need to reserve the right to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews and we need more of them. But really, the best review you can do is to tell your friends, tag us in a little story. We'll repost it. You know we're online.
Unless it has racial slurs, in which case we will not. Repost that. We want to stay on Love Island.
We are going to stay in the villa.
We want to remain in the villa for as long as we can.
I know. I'm like, I want to wake up every morning, put on a full face of makeup, and sit in a bikini all day without getting in the pool.
Not once getting in the pool. Guys, speaking of Millie's yeast infection, we're on YouTube. We are on YouTube where our male commenters love us.
They love us so hard. They love the topics. They love our takes. They love us talking about feminist topics.
They love our gay guests. They love our gay guests. They will comment gay.
They comment no gay. And when you say what, they're saying Leviticus. And you're like, oh.
Okay. So if you want to get involved in that conversation, you can follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube. That's the language they use there. We've got video episodes up every Saturday.
Yeah.
And we would love to see you there.
Speaking of people we love to see,
mm-hmm.
Today on the show, we have an amazing guest. First generation Egyptian-Canadian comedian and actress. Star as the lead voice in Rami Youssef's new A24 Amazon adult animated series, Number One Happy Family USA, and she was recently nominated for a Gotham TV Award for Breakthrough Comedy Series. Everybody, welcome to the studio, Salma Hindi!
Woo! Thank you!
Yeah.
Salma, we're so excited to have you. And for those watching the YouTube, you can see that Salma's wearing a great shirt, right?
Thank you so much. Yeah, men on YouTube love me as well. So I fit right in here, actually.
Men on YouTube go fucking crazy.
Number one supporters, honestly.
For sure.
So we just wanted to start out. We do two questions about you and your work up top before we get into the discourse. So why don't you give our listeners just like the brief Salma background? How did you get into comedy? How did you come to be here sitting with us?
How did you get to the greatest country in the world?
Yeah.
In the greatest city in the greatest country, Bushwick.
How did you get to the US of A in Bushwick? So I always make jokes that I'm not a physical refugee, but I am an emotional refugee from Canada. And wow, brief backstory. That's not 45 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got this. We believe in you.
Born and raised in Toronto, in a suburb of Toronto. Lived in my parents' same home my whole life till I was 27. Was very, very religious. My dad is an imam, which is like a Muslim version of a priest, just without the pedophilia part.
Yeah. We'll hold on that. Yeah.
But with all the misogyny, so don't worry.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. And then I was like such a good Muslim girly. Grew up like really well off, like kind of, you know, cushioned in my dad's like kind of little bubble. Only went to Islamic school my whole life that my parents ran. My mom was my principal.
Oh.
I was covered my whole life. I wore it when I was 7.
The hijab.
Yeah. I wanted to copy like my mom and my older sisters. Mm-hmm. And I wore it for 23 years. Mm-hmm. And I really loved it. Like, I felt a belonging. Mm-hmm. I really loved religion growing up. I felt like it gave me community, yeah, gave me routine, discipline, answers beyond a doubt, which you thrive off of as mm-hmm. a child. But then eventually it got to a point where I felt like it was preventing me from connecting with the rest of the mm-hmm. world. And I started comedy when I was like thinking about it for a year when I was 24. And then I started it when I turned 25. And it really broke my life open. Like, I met so many people for the first time. I met Jewish people for the first time. Wow. It's like my first time, not just meeting, but befriending a trans person while they were transitioning, mm-hmm. hearing their firsthand account. Like, I would have never been exposed to something like that in wow. my bubble. And then eventually I got into a relationship, like my only relationship, only person I've ever loved. And
God. I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. No, but we were with God because it was a halal relationship. We never touched. We never kissed. Oh. We did touch. We like held hands and cuddled.
Wow,
but
you whore.
Yeah. We never kissed. He never even saw my hair. He's seeing my hair same time as all of you guys wow. online. Yeah.
It's beautiful and hair.
Thanks so much. Oh, thank you.
Beautiful curls. But continue. Yeah.
So I...
You were in a halal relationship.
Yeah. And that relationship, the end of it got me, he was full of a lot of shame and I was also full of a lot of shame, but he triggered mine to a whole other level. Mm. So the end of that relationship got me into therapy and got me really questioning my value system because nothing made sense anymore. Like, I was taught that, like, I'll only date or marry a Muslim, religious, because that indicates a good person, that indicates someone familiar with values, whatever. And then I went through that and I was like, what the hell is going on? First of all, how can sex be wrong mm. out yeah. of love? How can that be sinful? How can that be shameful? I could not answer that question. Mm. I was like, this is such a pure, loving feeling. And you're telling me that I'm in trouble if I act on it. Meanwhile, there are men who are running my life, mm. who are oppressing women and children, mm-hmm. psychologically, emotionally abusing us, who are hypocrites, yeah. whose real value is money and status. Mm. And and somehow that's not wrong.
Yeah.
But then
and are those men having sex?
And those are,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
We'll get to that later yeah. in the discourse.
Oh,
but
yeah.
then that triggered you to leave the community?
So that got me, yeah, that got me, I think that was my first big step of being like, I don't think sex is haram. That was like my first big thing. Like,
and haram means
it's the opposite of halal. It means like forbidden.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So I was like, it's not haram.
I knew that, but I need to, for our listeners.
Yeah. It's not as common as like halal. Halal mm-hmm. is like halal food. You
yeah.
know? But yeah, so that got me, I think, questioning. And then my therapist was trying to get me to talk about God for so long. And I was like, we're not touching God. That's the mm. one thing. And then eventually, when the pandemic started and I completely moved out and I was by myself, and Toronto had one of the most strict lockdowns in the world, and it's cold, it's winter, it's dark, like mm-hmm. almost 80% of the year. So you're literally just with yourself and your thoughts. So mm-hmm. I was like, OK, I'm ready to touch God.
Yeah.
And then I went there and I really just felt like I didn't relate to the arrogance of being like, there's 7 billion people in the world and I'm going to heaven and everybody else is going to hell, which yeah. is not exclusive to Islam. It's just like religion
yeah, that's
in general.
What, yeah, that's yeah. religion.
Yeah. And I just felt like all the reasons I was wearing hijab was because of it was an identity, a political statement. Mm-hmm. It was out of modesty to not, like, I don't know, I guess arouse a man. It was for belonging and social currency yeah. mm-hmm. and like religious currency, which plays a big role obviously in my community, and all those reasons were outside of me. So I decided to take it off, which was like the scariest, craziest thing I ever did in my life. I was mm. 5 years into comedy, so I didn't know if I would be funny anymore. I didn't know who I would be.
Yeah.
I didn't know how I'm perceived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, I recorded my comedy album, my first and only album out. It's called Born on 9/11, which I actually am. I truly
am. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's dramatic.
Wow.
No, the writer's room that wrote my life is very fucking racist. I'm such a stereotype, like, in every way you can imagine. And people don't even know 2% about me. Like, people don't know. Because yeah. I don't know 2% about, like, there's so much that happened that I'm processing.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. And I feel like something, to get to the next question, something that I love about your comedy and your online presence is that you are still, because you were born 9/11, but not 2001. But
no, 1991. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 10 years before.
Yeah. groundbreaking. No. Yeah. But
you did it first.
You did it first.
Right? But I was the main headline.
Yeah. I feel like part of what I enjoy as a spectator of your comedy and your presence is that you're kind of still processing and going through, like, and talking about these topics and stuff very out loud and online.
Right.
And I guess my next question is, like, do you ever get any backlash for, like, this raw vulnerability and, like, going through? In a way, it's kind of like, it's interesting that you say, I mean, it's not definitely one-to-one at all, but, like, that you say that, like, comedy exposed you to someone transitioning, and in a way,
right,
you transition into this new lifestyle. So
right,
it's like, and you're very much, like, loudly processing and going through that.
Right.
So it's like, how does social media react to that? And
oh my God, social media.
YouTube loves you. Everyone loves.
Yeah, everybody loves me, actually. Okay, so when I first took the hijab off, obviously social media has been ruthless with me, which is, you know, understandable, because I did become, you know, wearing the hijab and doing something that is, let's say, not traditional for our community immediately is like cause for fame. You know what I mean? Because people are like, wow, you're doing something. You're like breaking like borders or whatever boundaries.
So, and, like, when you were like wore your hijab and were doing comedy, people were really interested.
People were very interested. People were like championing me. They were like, I was like their hope, you know, mm-hmm, because someone who looked like them, someone who was out there in the mainstream with like the whites, you
yeah
know, the non-Muslims, like how is that? And especially because I was being platformed by these big white organizations,
yeah,
mm-hmm, like Second City or whatever at the mm-hmm time when
yeah
I first started. And so they were very supportive, and like, you know, it's like hijabi comedian goes viral. Like, it was a lot of that stuff. And then I started doing videos during the pandemic, and that's kind of when my followers grew. And then there was like an epidemic basically at the time where a lot of influencers got really famous, but they were like fashion influencers, mm-hmm, got really famous for wearing the hijab.
Mm.
And then they all one by one started taking it off. And I still remember the shock and the betrayal and the heartbreak that I felt when other people were doing it. Mm-hmm. And then I made a video about it. I was like, I started making therapy videos, which I was really passionate about. After I started therapy, I told people in the community, I was like, the reason why you're upset when a Muslim influencer takes off her hijab is not because you want what's best for her, mm-hmm, and you want her to go to heaven. It's because she's triggering your shadow self. Like, this is something you're not giving yourself the permission to do. I don't care the reason, mm-hmm, if it's God or otherwise, but it's like the teacher telling us you have to do homework to get extra credit. And then you're seeing the students who are like not doing any homework, getting better results. It's like we are told to sacrifice, to make sacrifices for God so that we can have a better life and afterlife. And then we see someone who's not doing that sacrifice and who arguably might even have a better life than us.
Mm.
It's frustrating. And that's mm-hmm what gets them so angry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, everyone was open to hearing that from me because I was in hijab at the time. But
yeah,
when I took it off, I suffered the same consequence, which is extreme, just being like ostracized by the community. They
yeah
like, the first thing I posted was not even me without hijab.
Mm.
It was me on stage with my back, by the way, you couldn't even like see my face, saying I've made the decision that I'm no longer gonna cover myself anymore, and I'm in full hijab saying this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made like jokes about it, whatever, and it got like, I don't know how much, 200,000 views, like thousands of comments,
wow,
of people being like, I knew it, you're a sellout, you're terrible, people don't even follow me, like just everyone
yeah
flooding. And then that's how it's been. When I took it off, I couldn't even do it. I had to post it. My nieces were staying over with me. I posted it, and I was holding their hands and I posted it. And then I left my phone with them on the couch all night, and I went into my room and they were just fighting everyone for me in the comments. Yeah, they're so sweet. My niece is Dohan Iman. They're, yeah.
Shout out.
Your handlers.
Yeah.
I feel like what you're saying reminds me of something I've seen friends of mine who stop drinking or get sober have to go through, where it's like, some people, you say, oh, I don't drink anymore. Totally cool. Whatever. That's your decision. But every once in a while, they'll encounter someone who is like, well, why? Why won't you take this drink?
Right.
What do you mean you're not drinking?
Yeah.
That's like, so, and you can tell that it's like, oh, they are feeling something about themselves that your decision not to drink is triggering within them. They're starting to feel like, well, should I not drink? Could I not drink?
Yeah.
If I can't not drink, what does that mean about me? And so it's like their personal spiral that they're then projecting onto
you. Exactly.
Yeah, and I feel like totally with the thing of like, I was told to sacrifice.
Right.
I feel that same way with people who were told their whole life that if you want to be desirable, you have to be skinny and thin.
Right.
And all this stuff. And then they see like a plus size creator, a fat person doing something they want to do. And,
again, they're like, no, you're not allowed.
You're not allowed.
You're not allowed to give yourself the permission because we never gave ourselves the permission.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's on the other side. I also feel like that betrayal and stuff is something that I struggle with a lot with like plus size influencers who are now on Ozempic and all their stuff talks about Ozempic. And it's like, well, this is not why I fought, you know? So I feel like both sides, it's all like,
I know
humans are complicated and social media and other people really brings that out. And like, of course it's easier to be like, you're bad instead of like, wow, I feel something strongly. What is this triggering in me? You know, people don't even have that work.
I know. Most people are, I mean, at least in my community, are not even in therapy. Like, it's a new thing, of course, now, but like,
most people in most communities aren't.
Yeah,
therapy.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
I'll say, I don't think that the Christians are therapized to the brim.
Anybody who's in these YouTube comments is not in therapy.
No, clearly. Yeah.
Unless they're in therapy to learn therapy speak so that they can accuse you of being toxic. Like weaponize the language against you, in which case
funny. I think what really pissed people off, including my father, was that first of all, there's two layers to this. There is the layer where I took the hijab off. Okay, so now my body's showing. Traditionally, when people take the hijab off, they just take the hijab off and the rest of their body remains covered. Like maybe they'll wear like long, loose
t-shirts. They're not wearing sheer halter top marijuana.
Yeah.
Let's say that's dope.
Yeah.
Listen, we love it.
But
it's like, that's a big step.
Yeah. I went from hijabi to hojabi. Okay. Like,
okay.
Massive jump. I was not backing down. But the first photo I posted was like t-shirt cleavage short above the knees. Which is like, this is where we're supposed to cover even in front of other women.
Wow.
Women to women. Yeah. So it was a big statement. So that was the first thing. And they wanted you. So the narrative when these influencers take their hijab off is, I'm curious what it's like for the plus size models who do Ozempic, but the hijabi, ex-hijabi influencers, they'll be like, I'm weak in my faith and like, this is a test and God is going to be innocent, or like God is going to be like, you know, merciful on me. I did not say that. Mm-hmm. And my dad wanted me to. He wanted me to say,
people will say like, I'm going to
admit
it off
that your faith is weak.
Yeah. Okay.
I said no.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I feel like with plus size, they're like, I have so many health issues. I have a lot of health issues. This is for
right.
my health. But then, I mean, a lot of them, like, you talk to them after they take Ozempic and they're like,
there's more health issues?
Well, I'm peeing through my asshole and I can't drink and eat for the rest of my life. Like, so it's like, okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Trading some health issues for another.
And some people do. Like, I've heard people who say, like, it really does help with my diabetes. And that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about whatever. So, yeah, you hear it all. But that's fucking so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you also have a great podcast that I'm obsessed with.
Yes.
About like sexuality and Muslim women. And this leads perfectly into our discourse, which is the segment of our show where we talk about what people are talking about online and we recap. And this topic is piping hot.
Ooh.
And it's all about an app called the T app. This app is kind of inspired by, are we dating the same guy?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So from their app store, it says, are we dating the same guy? Ask our anonymous community of women to make sure your date is safe, not a catfish and not in a relationship. Already swiping for dates on Tinder, Bumble, Match, or Hinge? T is a must-have app, helping women avoid red flags before the first date with dating advice and showing them who's really behind the profile of the person they're dating. Users can access a nationwide forum of posts and set alerts for a man's name so you can never miss any tea about your potential date, ex, or partner, and make sure that they are not a cheater. Users can anonymously ask for dating and relationship advice to find support and empowerment from our community of verified women. So whether you're planning a coffee meetup or something more serious, Tea gives you the confidence to move forward with your date. No matter how you meet, via dating apps, friends, or online, Tea and its users help you date safe, increasing your chances of dating success. Tea is a perfect companion for an app like Tinder, Bumble, Match, or Hinge, giving you a layer of safety, community insight before the first date. So it has over a million users.
Wow.
And you have to submit like multiple selfies to verify that you are a woman.
Right.
And then you get to use it anonymously, which is different than Are We Dating the Same Guy? Those are Facebook groups, and the Facebook has to be like tied to your like identity, and
right.
it can be easily traced back to you. Here's the next slide. So this is what people use Tea for. It says real dating reviews on men.
Epstein in the corner.
Exactly.
Oh
so
my
funny.
God.
Run background checks. They do have a background check like thing. Identify a potential catfish. They use reverse image Google search to see if somebody's been using that same picture in other things. And you can verify if he's not a sex offender, which they have that database too. And you can also check for criminal history. And they do use Jeffrey Epstein.
I want to describe for so the funny. Listeners. So on each of these things, they have like a little fake profile that shows you how it would be used. And for check for criminal history, they have a picture of Jeffrey Epstein and it says criminal record search Jeffrey Epstein.
And it said conviction.
Wait, so they did this? This wasn't you? Like,
No. This is from their website.
So funny.
So
I mean, I would want to know if the person I was dating was Jeffrey Epstein. For sure. Well, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sex offender, you can just Google their name, right? But then the thing is, people don't be putting their full names on it.
Yeah. And it also does it by image.
Right.
And then also, so what happens is you post, like there's a picture of a guy, someone says, do you know this guy? And then people can comment anonymously.
I do wonder with the catfish of it all, it must suck if you're the person who people use your photo to be the catfish, which I've heard.
My little brother, that happens to him.
Really?
And he gets, and people, gay men will use.
Is he a hottie?
He's a hottie. He is a hottie. I could see why that is happening to him.
That's so funny.
My brother famously is a himbo.
That's such a like niche experience. Like people using your photo to catfish other people.
Oh, he's. You want to know? I didn't really like clock how hot other people thought my brother was until he went to meet me at Penn Station.
Okay.
And he got lost because it's Penn Station. We're trying to meet each other. An MTA attendant walked up to meet me and he's like, wow, MTA workers are so nice.
It's like, that's just you, babe.
And then later,
She got out of the booth. That's crazy.
Walked him to meet us and was like, God bless you. To my
dog.
And he's like, everyone's so nice. And then
he
went thrift shopping alone.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh my God, look at everything I got. The thrift shop worker said this had a little stain on it. They just gave it to me for free. I'm like, you met a nice MTA worker and a nice thrift shop employee. No one gets that.
Yeah,
crazy.
You're not in the same New York.
You're not
you're
in the same.
In a like, pretty privileged.
Nice. Everyone's so cool.
Yeah, pretty privileged New York. This, you know what? I went out once with one of my acting classmates. Shout out Daniel.
Shout out.
I am Daniel Victor. Yeah, and he's so hot. Like, girls, guys, they be throwing themselves at him. And I don't even think he notices. He just thinks, like, life is so pleasant.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
No. Doors are opening for us. Nobody's asking us anything. Like, they're just giving us free shit. Like, this is not normal.
It's like the John Hamm 30 Rock episode for
sure. Yeah.
So that happens to my brother. But anyway, so this is not the first time that this kind of concept has happened, right? There is obviously the idea of women creating a database to warn and inform people on, you know, right? That's, are we dating the same guy? There was an app back in the day called, I think it was either Lola or Lulu.
Yes, I have a Lola or Lulu story, which is, I remember when it first came out, it was like, there was like a hot second. And the idea behind it was like, you could rate guys.
Yeah,
and
like 9 out of 10 or something.
Yeah, like
Yelp review.
Yeah, basically Yelp review for guys. And I just remember that there was this one comedy guy who posted his Lola page. Like, he posted a screenshot of it. And the text that he posted it with was like, this is disgusting. Like, if women want to do this, this is so wrong. Imagine if I did this to women. But the content of his profile, he was basically posting a profile that said, great in bed, huge dick, amazing guy. And then he was like, I don't need to be ranked like this. And I was like, you actually just want to show us that all of these women have said you have a huge dick.
Right.
He's like, I cannot believe that this is getting.
I think even in the language, he was like, I'm not ashamed. And I was like, what would you be ashamed of? This profile says that you're really hot and have a huge dick.
Right.
So there's
so funny.
Yeah, there's Lola. There was also a few years ago, which would be a good search history. There was this thing called the shitty media men list, which is basically something like this, but of all the men who work for media companies, like Gawker, New York Times, whatever.
Right.
That caused a lot. Like, that had to get taken down because the girl who ran it, the woman who ran it, did get sued. We've talked about these guys who sue the Are We Dating the Same Men? And, you know, on one point, it's like, you know, constantly reviewing people like an establishment is like, it's getting pretty Black Mirror. So I'm going to really read some quick reviews of the app itself, and then we'll get to the next part of this. So this one said, this app will save from domestic abuse. This is a 5-star review of the app on the App Store. This says, I have a very bad ex who was abusive to me. His spouse is before me, and I have been contacted by the ones after me, and he's still in and out of jail for domestic abuse. He has an extensive criminal record in 4 states. But he's attractive, smart, and charming.
They always are.
You know, exactly. You'd never know it talking to him. I'm afraid one day he's going to end up killing a girl. Women he's dated after me somehow tracked me down on Instagram, asking me if he was violent with me. I was able to tell them my story and clarify the lies he was telling, but not before he had pistol whipped her.
Oh, my God.
For so long, I was hoping for a way to warn other women of him, just to do a background check at least. But we never do, do we? We just trust what they say. I think this app will save lives. If just one of the girls he may be swiping on right now sees him on the app, listens to my warning, then what I went through feels worth it. Download this app and share it. If not for you, for your sister or for your friend, woman to woman, protect each other. This is another thing. This is finally an app for girls, girl. I was skeptical when I first heard of this app. I was in one of the various Are We Dating the Same Guy Facebook pages, and someone recommended it to me. I tried it out when you got frustrated with beyond making a post anonymously, not being able to comment on other posts with revealing your true identity. Basically, it's like, you can't comment on even an anonymous post on Are We Dating the Same Guy?
Right.
You can't comment anonymously, and you can't, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. It'll always get... So I was shocked to report everything this... app claims to be is truly what it is. You can't screenshot on it. No one can find your identity, and it's opened a space for women, some who typically would have never shared anything like this due to the horrific circumstances they've endured, to not only post looking for tea or red flags for a new love venture, but a place to post men from either current or past relationships with abusive, narcissistic, unfaithful, dishonest, or criminal men as a way to sway others to steer clear of men. This has a lot of typos. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I was like, Millie's working really hard to edit in her mind in real time.
Like, to prevent other women from becoming the next victim. I was concerned that it would turn into a high school mean girl situation and could get ugly fast. However, I was happy to see women uplifting each other, whatever. And then I kept researching and found kind of an anti-post. This is one that's from the Reddit Ask Lawyers, and it says, the quote, T app lets women screenshot men's social media, share their photos, publicly label them, quote, red flags, and anonymously defame them. If there were a men's only app where men could anonymously post about women sharing their photos, calling them red flags, or gossiping about their personal lives and sex lives, feminist groups, mainstream media, tech companies, and probably lawmakers would condemn it immediately. Why hasn't this app been sued into the ground? Can this app be legally compelled to disclose the name of these anonymous accounts so that those individuals are held liable for defamation? U.S. internet law is a joke, particularly Section 203, takes all responsibility away from tech companies for the things people post. And then a lawyer replied to that and said, because the app isn't defaming anyone, if someone writes libelous things about another person and then publishes it to the public, you already have the ability to sue under existing law. That said, if what they are saying is true, then there is no libel to begin with. And if the government tried to shut down an app or prevent the kinds of posts / comments, etc. you are referring to, it would run headlong into the First Amendment. This app is a consumer product just like any other. People are permitted to protest, boycott, etc. the app to their heart's content and try to prevent its use. Section 203 is an amazing piece of law, and without it, the internet basically cannot exist as we know it, because the exposure to liability that any website, app, etc. that had people make statements on would be so high, they could not afford to function. So basically, it's so crazy because that guy posted that and then every other lawyer like argued, because he was like, no, but legally, is this okay? And people were like, yes, it is legally okay. They protected themselves, the terms of service, whatever. So far, I want to hear both of your thoughts on this app, the T app.
Okay, so I haven't been on it, and I haven't been on Are We Dating the Same Guy, but I understand the idea. Okay, here's my thing, because like I do understand like men talking about women and saying that they're toxic and warning them as well. But the stakes are different. Okay,
yeah.
Because here's the thing. Men be killing women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be literally killing them. Be physically abusing them, like controlling them, preventing their mobility. I've seen some terrible shit. I've heard some terrible shit. My friends, loved ones have gone through some terrible shit. Yeah. They're being, you know, raped in their marriages.
Jesus.
I don't think women have the same harmful impact or potential. Like, if a woman is going to kill you or like has tried to poison you or something, by all means, please tell everybody about her.
welcome to post.
If she has a history of lying about sexual assault every now and then, there's like one in a million women who does that. And she uses that to weaponize or garner some sort of sympathy around her. But she has a track record, like as in she's lied many times. Or if she's helping a guy in like sexually assaulting children.
Yeah, like a Ghislaine Maxwell type person.
Yes, basically those women are men to me. And you should put them on the app.
Well, and I also feel like if somebody posted, if a man posted about a woman very publicly saying, this woman is toxic, she, like, I feel like, you know, at least from that is, people would support. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, there's no double standard or men can't or this and that, like, whatever. But it's not, like, libelous or it's not, like, something that never happens.
They would be protected by the same laws that we're talking about here. Like, if what he's saying is true, then it's not libel. So that's, like, what they're saying. Whenever I see stuff like this, like, I get the impulse that to worry about how it could be abused against someone who hasn't done anything or who was just kind of a shitty boyfriend and doesn't necessarily need to deserve to be like lumped in with someone who,
like Taylor Swift and Jake Gyllenhaal writing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, okay, because I've definitely seen that with someone where it's like, okay, this person was like a shitty guy for sure, but he's not Jeffrey Epstein criminal record.
Yeah.
That said, the reason that apps like this exist and have come to be, and the reason why the shitty media men list came to be and all this stuff, is because we do not have the correct legal pathways for getting this information out in a non-surreptitious manner like this. Like, the actual reality is that most domestic abusers don't face the consequences that they need to face, that most rapes and sexual assaults are not reported the way that we would hope, or if they are reported, their rape kit gets lost and not investigated or whatever.
The courts protect the men. The courts
look at
Diddy. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's like
disgusting.
The burden of proof to actually take what people who probably worry about this app feel would be the appropriate legal action is so high that women have had to create these whisper networks to get justice. And unfortunately, those could be used to malicious purposes. It's not perfect, but the reason that they exist is because the law has not found a way to appropriately deal with these types of crimes. And there are men who, you know, I don't like, you hear about women who are being stalked and abused and like harassed, and the police will tell them, well, actually, you have to wait until he grabs you or like physically harms you.
Or you have to take pictures, and there has to be like many cases of him doing that.
And
or
then
whatever.
They'll maybe do something. And also, like,
there has to be witnesses to like something private that's happening to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, there is things that aren't good that you don't want someone to date, even if it's not illegal. I mean, there is this thing, right, about like the way that misogyny and patriarchy kind of forms our kind of carceral system. And the thing is, like, it's not about what is right or what is an appropriate way to treat women or whatever, or engage. It's all about not crossing that line of bad. But it's like there's all this shit that's acceptable that we have to like put up with.
Right.
That is. But as long as they don't cross the line and punch you in the face, it's all good.
Right.
When, you know, I've had, and, you know, I dated someone who I could see like the frog in boiling water of manipulation, gaslighting, pushing my boundaries and stuff. And it took me a while to
Emotional abuse is still abuse, psychological abuse.
But even like to recognize that and be like, oh, this guy, like, I don't like how he makes me feel. I don't like how we feel. I don't like who I am with him.
Right.
I've whatever. And it's like, but I had to learn that the hard way. And even though that he didn't do anything illegal, I'd probably tell someone, don't fucking talk to him. He's like a little, you know? And even that, like, is warning people about it. So,
right. Well, can we talk about gossip for a second?
Yeah.
Because it has a really negative connotation, right? Even, like, in religiously, it's sinful and stuff. But, like, the origin.
This is so letting me. Let's hold on this, because this leads perfectly to the next segment of this, right? So, we have this app. So, this app is everywhere. It's reached a million downloads. It has it makes like about $200,000 a month.
Okay.
Because I think anyone can post whatever, but there's like paid versions where I think that's where you get like the background checks and stuff.
Okay.
But the reason why we're talking about this is because it's going viral, because this app has reached the community of Dearborn, Michigan. So Dearborn, Michigan. If you don't know what Dearborn, Michigan is, do you know what Dearborn, Michigan is?
I know. Oh, I know Dearborn, Michigan.
There was a knowing glint in your eye where you were like,
I've been there many times.
You've been there many times. Yes. So I feel like it's not common knowledge to people. First of all, Dearborn is a city in Wayne County in the state of Michigan. It's an inner ring suburb of Detroit, and then it borders Detroit to the south and west. It's like 7 miles away from downtown Detroit. And in the 2020 census, it has a population of about 110,000. Right. But this city is known for its very large Arab American population, with about 55% of the residents identifying as Middle Eastern or North African. So, again, it has a significant number of immigrants and is home to the first Arab American major city in the U.S. So what's happening is that this app has reached the Muslim community of Dearborn, and it is getting a lot of traction online. Mm-hmm. And there's some interesting conversations happening. So right now, what we're going to do, we're going to watch basically two very short videos by two Muslim influencers. One is based in Dearborn. I don't know if the second woman is based in Dearborn, but there are two Muslim influencers who both wear the hijab, and they have very different opinions.
Right.
So we're going to watch both. And then I'd love to hear your thoughts. This take is by Z_Dulaimi.
Yeah.
I wanted to come on here to kind of address something that I know many of you guys probably already know about. There's this app that's trending. It's called the T app. And the whole point of this app is to post a guy that you're talking to, or post people that you're trying to get to know, with pure intentions to know if they're a good person or not. However, it's been taken completely out of context, and people are posting every single man in Dearborn. They're posting every single person that they know just because they want to know more tea or gossip, etc. Not only do I find this wrong, but I find this haram, because one, you're exposing other people's sins, and two, you're just doing is talk shit about people. And I think that's so sad and so disheartening that you're that okay with it. A lot of you guys are posting this just hitchy for hachi and all of that, and I think it's so sad that you're ruining families, that you're causing fitna, and that you're literally just gossiping. Don't get me wrong. I am all for this app. If girls are posting guys that they're getting to know and they want to know more about them, but people are taking it and using it in the worst ways possible. Why are you posting men, married men, other men, etc., just so you can talk crap about them and let every one of your friends talk crap about them and then just ruin their reputation more and more? If there's a married man who is doing his wife dirty, my opinion is reach out to his wife, text her personally, reach out to a family friend of theirs, let them know, instead of going on and publicly embarrassing them, causing drama and all these things on an app. If he's out here publicly humiliating her, that's on him and that's on her. But it's not up to you for you to spread it on the city of Dearborn, on the C app, telling everybody and their moms about it. Like, Maku Dai, go reach out to her, reach out to him, reach out to somebody, but don't sit here and just blast families, expose people. That's just my personal opinion. Honestly, I hope a whole bunch of you take this into consideration, delete your posts, move on with your lives. And I really hope that we as a city and as a community, we can do better, because not acceptable.
Okay, so that's one take. And now we're going to watch another take. And this influencer, her name is Omar's big sister.
Hell yeah. I love an easy to read handle. Yeah, I'm like, great. It.
Yeah. Okay.
I just saw the craziest video. Okay, so for context, there's this app. It's called like the T app. And again, post like a picture of like a guy. So like girls only, right? You post a picture of a guy because you want to know more about him before you like start dating him or whatever, right? Except this app has hit like Dearborn. And something you need to know about Dearborn, they're all like Lebanese Arab, right? And they're posting these guys, and every single comment is like, yeah, he's a cheater. Yeah, he's a player. Yeah, he abused somebody. And this girl came on this app talking about, like, this app is haram because you're exposing people's sins and you're ruining families. And I disagree. If he hit another woman, if he cheated on a woman and is spreading God knows what, that is not exposing somebody's sins. That is telling people to prevent themselves from harm. That is protecting people. Like, that's crazy. Like, y'all will excuse anything if a man does it. Anything. You're tearing families apart by gossiping. Tell me why I opened the app and I clicked on a random one. Because it's like a picture of a guy and has a little green flag or a red flag. Open one that has a red flag. He's a rapist. Oh, but we're gossiping.
Yeah. Yeah. I have so much to say. Oh, my God.
Say it.
I know. I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Let's hear your thoughts.
Okay. So I mean, I definitely agree with the latter video. So, like, yes.
Gossiping is harm. That was what you were going to say.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And also, if there's any words that she said that you think might add more context, because I know she said the first influencer said a few words that I wasn't familiar
with. She said malkudai, which means it's none of your business, like it's none of you guys' business, like go
touch
else.
Grass
go touch grass.
I was kind of like, does that mean go touch grass?
yeah that would be amazing if that's what she said. We need that phrase in Arabic, actually, because a lot of Arabs could be touching more grass. Well, so I'll say that a lot more people.
Is it more culturally appropriate to say go touch sand, though?
Right? Go hug a palm tree.
But
palm trees are like pointy, spiky at the bottom.
Yeah, you might not want to hug.
Well, that's like go kick rocks, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to talk about gossiping, like the origin of gossiping. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say, I don't know, in the 80s, the 70s, like when was King Henry or whatever, like killing his wives
that's
for not
1500s. You were right to turn to me.
I love to turn to the one white girl.
It'd be like later 1500s, probably.
At least one time we were doing a search history and she walked me through, because I said I was watching The Good Wife, and then she was saying, you were watching what show? About King
the Tudors.
Henry, the Tudors. And then she talked about every single wife that King Henry killed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, this is one of my special interests.
I love.
And I guess I would say 15. I mean, it depends on which wife we're talking about, but probably like 1560s.
So let's say, like late 1500s, mid 1500s. Mm-hmm. Okay. So at this point, women are like property, right? Yeah. Like you're marrying them, you're trading them, you're getting one for land, etc. Mm-hmm.
You cut their head off if they don't give you a kid.
Yeah. Exactly. Cut their head off if you don't give you a kid, which, by the way, your sperm determines the gender. Yeah. Yeah. So scientifically, yeah, you're doing it wrong.
If you don't get a boy, you're right, you're right, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, your sperm determines the gender,
no,
boy,
she
girl.
Gave him a kid, and it was actually Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
It was actually a pretty good
one. Right. Was Queen Elizabeth.
So back then, women actually did need to be gossiping, like, in their, I don't know, where like, the common grounds where the maids would go or whatever. Women needed to be gossiping back then so that you can know which of these men is dangerous, which one is going to kill you.
Yeah, you know, and it's saying? Also sad because it's like the end goal of that gossiping wasn't even that you wouldn't end up married to that guy. It was just so that you would know
exactly
what the fuck was about to happen, because you don't actually even really get a say. I mean, some women could maybe wield whatever in the background to not marry someone they really didn't want to marry. But for the most part, it was literally just so that you would know what you were getting into.
Exactly, what you were walking into. And they would protect themselves in that way. And because, yeah, you gossiped so that, because if you said something straight to a man's face, you're dangerous or you're a terrible person, you're dead. Do you know what I mean? Now, okay, we don't have that anymore. Like, you could confront a man and say, like, you're shit or whatever, but we're still carrying all of that. And men still are capable of a lot more harm towards women than the other way around, right? Now, this argument of, like, don't expose people's sins is such a spiritual bypass. Me calling out a married man for cheating is what's ruining his marriage? Mm-hmm. No. Him cheating on his wife is what's ruining his marriage. Mm-hmm. Me calling it out, that is a consequence. That's me bringing to light the truth, right? And, I mean, a lot of women have very different opinions about this. For instance, this is, like, a personal story that happened to me last year. I went to my first sex club in Berlin in July, like this time last year. Mm-hmm. And I met a guy from LA there. And we were dancing, whatever, whatever. He tried to stick his dick inside of me without asking.
Oh,
okay.
God.
So he, like, assaulted me.
Yeah.
I freaked out. I was like, what are you doing? Get out of here. Like, I don't sleep with anyone. Like, the first time I meet them, like, whatever, whatever. Anyways, he left, never saw him again. And I was living in LA at the time until January. Okay. So, like, 7 months later. I am hosting a random 6:30 p.m. show on a Thursday at St. Mark's Comedy Club. There's 7 people in the audience, all women, 1 man. It's him.
No.
Oh, I kid you not. It's
him. I saw this on social media. Her social media is crazy. You should follow her.
Dude,
she's doing it all.
He is front row with his girlfriend, exclusive girlfriend of 2.5 years.
Bitch.
And she lives in Jersey and he lives in LA. So he's here to visit her or whatever, whatever. I called him out. I could not handle it. It took me a while, first of all, to, like, piece together who he was. Like, why is he so familiar? Immediately I got up, I'm like, you look so familiar. And then he said his name, or the guys, like, I saw him from the back of his head while, like, there was, like, a down moment in the show, and I was like, I know who this guy is.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
I asked the comics his name. They told me. I was like, he's like a really random mix ethnically. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna ask him if where he's from, and if he says this, I know for sure it's him. And I did, and it was him. So I called him out at the end of the show. I said, this man tried to stick his dick inside of me without asking. And I said, girl, if you were wondering whether or not he's cheating on you, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And it was so dramatic. Everyone was screaming, the comics, whatever. And then I told so many women afterwards, they saw that video and they were really moved. They were like, you did what all of us wish we could do, like stand up to an abuser, call him out, whatever, scream. And then some women, like one woman, she was a comic. She, like, lost it on me at the stand. And she was like, You ruined that girl's life by calling him out. And if she's in an abusive situation, you put her in even more danger because she's not going to leave him now.
Mm.
And that was not the way that you should have gone about it. And you did that for you. Don't pretend you did that for her. And it was such a, like, extreme reaction. But I just feel like you can't really tell a victim, like, how to react. Or
you didn't show her face or his face in the video.
No. But she's saying even me just calling it out, like, regardless, like, aside
from
the video.
There are 7 people at the show. So.
Well, yeah. And also,
if it was, like, a packed stadium, but it was St. Mark's Comedy Club at 6:30.
Yeah.
But I get it. No.
Sorry. I felt like, maybe it's true. Maybe I was doing it for my child self or whatever, my own
That's
empowerment.
Allowed, though.
Exactly. He wronged me.
Yeah.
It's not like I saw him on Hinge and whatever. This man literally tried to assault me. And is it me who's ruined their relationship, or is it his actions that he hid from her?
Yeah, I just feel like that response from the person who was angry at you tries to take you completely out of the equation when you are actually a very seriously harmed party in this.
Right.
And like, you're supposed to just be immediately prepared to have your assailant be in the front row of your comedy show, right, and like deal with that in a way that this person finds exactly perfect. No. I don't actually think you did anything wrong in how you deal with it. But if in a world where you went too far or whatever, well, maybe it's because that's a crazy fucking situation,
right,
in general. Second of all, you were harmed by this person.
I know abusers, okay? I know them personally. I know them very well. Here's
their
the
names,
right? Where I'm gonna say list.
I know
if you.
If you take them, because she was telling me, take him to the side, take the girl to the side, talk to him. Here's the thing: if you take them to the side, they can easily gaslight you, make you seem crazy, dismiss you, be like, "Girl," like use his charms on her, the same charms that he's been using this whole time to control her to get out of it. Public calling out, that's the one time where they actually lose their power, because now they're being held accountable by the entire community, by the world. They cannot hide their character anymore. So if it is character assassination, guess what? This is their true character. I judge a man's character by how he treats his woman romantically in private, because that is like the most, how do I say, like insecure, vulnerable version of you. Mm-hmm. And if that's an abusive, harmful version, that's truly who you are.
So thank you for that perspective. I will say like two things specifically with this app, and you're talking about like whisper networks and like ways that people gossip to protect and inform and all this stuff. Like, it's really interesting because to many people, this app is dangerous, whatever, it can be used for harm. But it's also like with the shitty media men list and all these other lists, it's like, well, the way that society has moved in the past 20 years is like all of our community building and interpersonal relationship things start online. That's how a lot, right, of our relationships start. That's how we find community in the niche things that we're interested in. That's, right, how a lot of conversations are happening. So it's interesting that like this kind of thing that has been around since the 1500s, it being online and people having to see that in writing triggers this other thing. And I'm sure that men were upset about gossiping. That's why there's like this kind of nasty sexist connotation with gossiping.
Yeah,
in general,
it's considered a thing that women do, and exactly, it's a women's activity, and that's even why though, it ends up on the sins list.
Yeah, right.
They're like, these stupid bitches are talking. We're gonna say God says you're,
right,
not allowed to.
And it's easier. So many religions, so many, you know, this is cross, like this is not just a Muslim issue, whatever. But so many things, it's like easier to blame the woman and to blame whoever's saying stuff than like, you know, the public humiliation thing. And I think like, personally, I've had friends have had sex with a guy and found out later that he was married or in a relationship, contacted the spouse, and they don't leave him. They don't do anything. Right. They're like, thank you. And
they can hide
business.
It. They can sweep
whatever.
Up. Yeah.
And like, whatever, you know, maybe it just depends too. It's like, well, if my husband like had sex with someone one time, like, but we talked about it, he came clean, we worked on it. Like, we,
right,
don't know,
right,
what's,
right,
going,
right,
on.
Right.
But it's like, if you're humiliated by that coming out, that is a consequence. That's,
right,
why you don't fuck outside of your relationship, because it can be going back to you,
right,
in a way, and it can humiliate you. Like,
and like, what if you give her an STD or something? Like, shouldn't,
yeah,
she know? I feel, okay, there is an added layer to the Muslim Dearborn community using this app specifically, which is in a way like religious policing of the norm, of the societal norm. Because here's the thing, if everybody goes on there, and every single Muslim guy, you know, and people say, oh, yeah, I had sex with him, or this guy had sex, like, or whatever, mm-hmm, he cheated. I'm not even saying, I'm just saying premarital sex.
Yeah.
Then now you're telling everyone, because sex be happening.
Yeah.
Like, my podcast is called The Secret Sex Lives of Muslim Women. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling people, a Muslim woman in 2025, in her 30s, announcing publicly that she is sexually active is the same as like coming out in the 70s. The stakes are so high. Mm-hmm. And so now,
but, yeah,
you're saying like, I know they're men and there's a double standard. We do forgive it. But the thing is, so many of these Muslim men be having sex before marriage and then they get married and they want a virgin, right?
Yeah.
Very common in the Muslim community. So now it's like, I'm finding out that the MSA president, the Muslim Students Association president, the imam of this mosque, the whatever of this, has been having sex this whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's now you're opening people's eyes up also to the taboos that are happening, which some of them are good. Some of them are just like, some of them are bad. Sorry. Some of them are just normal human.
Yeah. Having sex. And I'm sure this would rock a Mormon community too.
Totally.
Because like, you know, they're, you know, you're not supposed to have sex before marriage. And if you find out like, yeah, there's so much pressure on a woman just in general, outside of any religion to stay pure and not give into sex, not give into sexual temptation, all this stuff. And the man doesn't want, like, if you've kissed somebody or done anything, the man's not interested. So then, yeah, like, in even if we're not talking about abuse or anything, just to know, like, hey, this guy, and I know that, you know, marriage and stuff is a negotiation with the whole family.
Right.
Like, it's important to know that, like, hey, this guy, like, he slept with people before.
Yeah, people be fucking.
People be fucking. And, so if he wants to make you feel bad about kissing someone.
Exactly.
Holding someone's hand like your whore ass was doing before.
I was holding my boyfriend's hand.
Yeah, you were holding your boyfriend's hand like a whore.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing, though, because I went to Islamic school my whole life. I was really active in all the mosques. If I found out that, like, I don't know, Brother Khalid or something who's like teaching math or like Islamic study, whatever. And he's telling me in the hallway, Salma, don't talk to this boy for too long. Like, this is bordering flirting or whatever. And I found out on the app that he had slept with a bunch of women. I'd be like, bro, don't even fucking talk to me. Like,
and you... that's kind of a bigger thing, right?
So that, but that's what she also means by you're exposing people's sins. That's what she means.
Yeah.
Now you see the flawed Muslim that this person is, which I've always been so open about. That's why it pisses people off. I'm such an open book. I've never been one to have sex in private and then present that I'm pure or whatever, which everybody does.
You publicly fuck all the time in the middle of Times Square.
But the thing is, I literally do not be fucking. I've been celibate for a year and a half, but everyone thinks I'm like a raging whore because that's how I present.
But
my parents, like, they would have rather I did what every other Muslim girl did in the community, which is secretly have sex in private, secretly fuck, blow guys however you want, and don't tell anyone. As instead of, as opposed to having sex one time and never shutting the fuck up about it on stage, which is literally me.
That's every woman's comedy career.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of times I joke versus the amount of times I have sex in a year. Right.
Yeah.
So there's this guy named Bashir, who is this one creator, and he came on and he's like, this app is terrible. Look at the things they've said about me. This is bullshit. And he shared, he basically took a picture of his profile from someone else's phone.
Because you can't screenshot.
Because you can't screenshot. Right. So he's like, can you believe what people are saying about me? He's a Muslim creator from Dearborn. And he shared these two like screenshots that I thought were funny. Some of it, it's interesting because he's like, this is complete bullshit. This is stupid, blah, blah, blah. I can't believe this is on. But then he's sharing these things and I'm like, I can't believe you're on that. So one says, you know, he's like abusive, hits women.
Whoa.
He hit his ex, stay far away. He also hang and flirt with other girls while he's had a girl. And when she left him, he crashed out and played victim. Somebody else said, bro, this guy needs a psychological evaluation ASAP. He wants an untouched girl and his and all his time is spent bashing other women, blah, blah, blah. And he calls himself the alpha female. When a girl doesn't want to hook up with him, he tells them they're missing out on his dick. Someone else says he's fruity. So brows are better than all
of us. He's fruity is coming up a lot. He's fruity and gay. And I am a little bit like...
Girls, duty, we should flag that because honestly, like in, I don't know. And I mean, obviously I care about their safety as well, but woman to woman, there'd be a lot of closeted people in our community because it's not safe for them to come out.
Yeah.
It is just funny because I'm like, I do not hear that terminology oft. Like
oh, that he's fruity?
Yeah. I'm like that. I thought, I don't know. I am just a little like, that is like, what do you mean by that? Do you mean that you think he's on the DL or do you mean that like you think he seems gay to you?
Somebody said, hey, XOXO gossip girl says he's fruity and gay. So fruity means one thing, gay means another.
Okay.
Somebody else says this guy actually has mental issues and needs help. I never met a guy so mentally disturbed as much as this man right here. So he posts this, right? He posts this. He's like, this is bullshit, whatever. That's one video. The next video he posts, he's like, we need to contact all of our political officials. The mayor needs to be on this because this app could actually be harmful for girls because people can start sharing revenge porn on women on the app. Like, we can use this app to...
Revenge porn?
People can share nudes and stuff about women.
Whose people,
app.
Though? Him?
He's
toxic,
like,
men be doing that. They threaten, yeah, girls, I'll leak your nudes if you don't, like, marry me, if you leave me or whatever.
Yeah,
also,
so he's like...
Has that been done on,
well,
this?
He's saying that, like, this is going to be a huge problem. We need to cancel this app because women can be harmed. So...
How, though?
I know. I'm just actually like, okay, I guess technically any app that allows photo sharing, like, someone could use it to post revenge porn.
Right, like Instagram?
Yeah, and then that person would be subject to what are hopefully the revenge porn laws of that state. Or there's no revenge porn laws in that state, which is why shit like this app fucking exists. So
exactly.
That a woman could be like, he shared my nudes with his friend.
Right.
And, like, I'm just like, okay,
in a way, it's an indirect threat. It's him, yeah, saying he might do that next if this app doesn't cease to exist.
That's exactly what he's saying. So this next video, the last video that I'm going to share, is a different Muslim creator. Her name is Aunt Karen. She also lives in Dearborn. She is stitching his video.
Okay.
So the first few, like, for people listening, you're going to hear him talking about it, and then you're going to hear Aunt Karen respond to it.
Okay.
Everyone, send this video to the mayor, send it to city of Dearborn, whatever you guys want to do. We need to prevent an app that's going to expose women, possibly ruin their marriages, their reputations, possibly if they live in an abusive household, their dad's going to get worse. Maybe people are going to post, like, nude pictures of her.
Wallahi, isn't that what you were saying in the video? It's so interesting to me that you want to take the app to the Dearborn police. Same police officers that are on that app, being exposed. And you want to take it to the mayor because you're afraid for women, right? But the ones who are saying they're going to post nudes and take it to, you know, fathers and da-da-da-da are the men. The same men on the app, which women are trying to warn them about. I'm trying to understand where you're trying to help here. This is why the app is what it is. No one's women aren't posting any nudes. They're just describing experiences, what they've been texted, what was said to them, what they've witnessed. No one's saying every single thing on there is true. That's up for the other people to decipher. But to say that or encourage men to post these things, nudes and stuff, that is the problem.
He is abusing us also. Mm. He's gaslighting us. He's saying, like, oh, I got to protect you before the harm that I'm going to do to you occurs to you.
Yeah,
like,
it's just,
what?
It's such a, like, bird-brained thing. It reminds me of, like, any time that people misuse feminism,
right,
feminist language to try to get their weird aims, where it's like, you're actually not believing women right now because,
right, oh my
I'm
God,
obviously lying to you and you're not, right, believing me. Like, it reminds me of just any weird stuff where, like, people are like, oh, I could try to couch this in feminist terms so that now it won't seem like I'm saying the super regressive thing that I'm saying. Like, when we were talking about Sabrina Carpenter, and it's like people will say, oh, she exists for the male gaze. And it's like, you just want to call her a slut, but in a feminism.
Yeah.
Oh, right, like, right, right.
Do I think a comment, he's fruity and gay, is helpful? Not necessarily.
That's the thing that I was going to say. Like, if I was talking to a guy and I saw those were all the comments and that's it, I'd be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we're in Bushwick, which,
right,
you're wearing the mesh halter top,
yeah,
thing. I'm like, fruity and gay, that's a green flag.
Exactly. That's, yeah, that's progressive. That's stylish.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm kind of interested.
Yeah,
like,
but
I'd love
to
hear more.
Like, how he hit his girlfriend.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, the other stuff too. Yeah, no.
He has good eyebrows and piercing, or he literally, like, punches women. Do you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. And I do feel like one of the things that is maybe lost to men who are seeing this, and I'll leave space for, like, seeing written down a bunch of mean things about yourself in any world,
oh, right,
is gonna,
I mean,
be painful.
We,
right,
talk about recording,
yeah,
like
it,
I mean,
YouTube,
that's the
comments.
That's,
yeah,
the thing, though. It's like, to be a woman, even if you're not, like, a comedian or front facing, like, men do feel entitled to comment on your look. You're this, you're that, whatever. How,
yeah,
many even dating apps? Like, these guys say crazy shit to me, even without knowing,
right,
I'm a star.
Yeah, I mean, literally, yes.
You are a star.
Oh, I'm kidding.
But I do feel like women and people in general know how to parse out the comments that are like, okay, yeah, whatever. You're commenting
matter.
He's fruity and gay. Like, I'm not addressing that. Like, right. I'm not going to not date a guy because you commented that with that's insane. But when I see a comment that says he slapped his wife around, yeah, that is going to flag to me as something where I'm like, okay, what is there to this? I think that a lot of the guys who are seeing this are assuming that, like, women are just going to take in every single comment, believe every single thing that's said immediately.
Right.
Whereas it's actually just a way for women to receive information that they would have received by talking anyway.
Right.
And use their big, beautiful brains to be like, what seems legit to me? What is flagging to me? What seems like someone who has like sour grapes or didn't like this guy? Like, yeah, women can right. figure that out right. for themselves as well, because that's also part of the gossiping tradition that we've had forever. Like,
exactly.
You know, when you're talking to someone and you're like, I feel like I'm not getting the full story here. And
right.
you know, when you're talking to someone and you're like, this woman just told me something really serious and I need to take it really fucking
right,
seriously.
Right, right, right. Totally. Also, by the way, Islamically, you are highly, highly encouraged before marriage to ask around about the person, mm-hmm. to try and learn as much information as possible about the person. So this is just like basically televising or like making that more technologically accessible, which, yes, might reach a lot more people that maybe only one or two people might have been privy to that conversation. But you're also getting a lot more information. Like, I find it, okay, I'm new to this country. I don't have family or family friends here. I don't have a network. Like, anybody I know is through comedy. All of my friendships are brand new.
Yeah.
Male comedians make terrible options today, honestly.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, let's say I'm going to go date someone completely out of my, like, the comedy community. Let's say, like, a random person, I don't know, who's, like, a lawyer or, like, whatever, some random-ass dude.
Outside of your network.
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
I don't know how to contextualize him. I don't even know who his friends are to, like, ask, like, how do I place you? Like, I really do be struggling with that. Unless it's, like, a trusted friend that I know is introducing me to someone. And even then, sometimes I've made the mistake of, like, a really good friend introducing me to someone, and I think that they're, like, homies, that they're so tight.
Yeah.
And then I found out they've only known each other a month and they don't even fuck with each other that much or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It is scary to, you do need a background character check on someone that you're considering, like, giving your heart to and really,
yeah,
like, creating something with.
So two really quick things is, like, my friend, she went on 9 dates with this guy, liked this guy a lot, whatever. After 9 dates, she Googled him, found his wedding website, that he's about to get married in,
stop it,
in like 2 months.
Nine
there's a countdown.
Dates.
9 dates. Then he asked her to hang out and she's like, hey, actually, like, I can't hang out because I found out that you're fucking engaged. And he's like, all right.
Oh my god.
He doesn't say anything else. And then also with the,
see, no accountability.
No account. He's like,
yeah,
okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't say anything. Like, that was it. I was like, all right. And then ultimately, this guy and just the people who have things about them, like, there's nuances, like a mistake can be made, whatever. That's a different conversation. But it's like, when you ultimately don't respect women, when you don't think that they are valuable human beings who have the same level as value as you, they are not capable of critical thinking, this and that, that's why it's okay for you to hit them. That's why it's okay for you to cheat, whatever. Like, you're not thinking that, oh, somebody might view this and still see, like, bad things about me and still decide that still make that decision, you know?
Right.
Like, they want to take that out, like, that factor out for you. And also,
right,
I just wonder, right? Like, this is just my thinking, and you can tell me if this is wrong, but maybe there are girls in women in the community who are, like, super pure, super desirable because they're good girls, and there are women in the community who exist to are quote unquote whores.
Right.
Or maybe even outside of the community, they maybe, like, will secretly date white girls or whatever and sleep around with other women of other races but then want to marry somebody. It's like, that's kind of what this app is for too. It's like,
exactly.
Maybe you'd ask around, but you'd ask around people that you know from your religious community,
right?
And not a girl who worked at a coffee shop. Right,
right? True. So, like the white girl. And that happens so much.
That happens
like,
a lot.
I was on a show and I saw like a brown guy with a white girl and I was like, he's not going to marry you. Like it was a Muslim. It was like an Arab show.
I mean,
show.
You never know. But yeah,
I
exactly.
mean, yeah, but it's happened so much where they use them.
Yeah.
Because also they separate identities. They're like, white girl, that's whore. Muslim girl, that's Madonna, right? The Madonna whore complex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then also it's like she's outside the community. She's it's not gonna
get back.
I can
be myself with one person. Yeah. I can be myself. Like
totally.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like this leads us very well into our final segment, which is called Grasshole of the Week. This is where we name the person who needs to log off the most. This week's grasshole. I will say honorable mention Sierra from Love Island, who was removed from the villa for using a racial slur on Instagram story.
Yes.
We already talked about Love Island. This person, we're in conversations about traditional gender roles, how you want to be while dating, but we're now moving to the Mormon space.
Yes.
Okay. We're taking everything that we just talked about with the Muslim community and we're putting a Mormon sheen on it because today we are talking about an influencer by the name of Courtney Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
And before I get into her whole thing, I do want to ask, do the words princess treatment mean anything to either of you?
Yeah, I think I'm aware of it. Like you let a man pamper you? Is that the idea?
That is one interpretation.
Yeah.
Millie, I know you are aware of this topic because it was almost the discourse.
It was almost the discourse, but then we got Selma and... Muslim people were going off. I'm like,
is perfect. We can talk about both because grasshole behavior has occurred with this princess treatment. So first, let me go back and tell you who Courtney Palmer is. So Courtney Palmer is a 37-year-old influencer who makes trad wife content. Basically, she would not use that word, but it is, you know, that is what it is functionally. It's about her life as a stay-at-home mom. She started posting in February of this year. She's been married to her husband for 18 years. They are likely Mormon. They live in Salt Lake City. Yeah. Here's the thing is like, there are a bunch of articles that have come out about her recently and none of them have explicitly stated that she's Mormon, but like it's
one
giving
can assume
Mormon.
That if you're in Salt Lake City and you've been married for 18 years and you're 37.
Right.
Yeah. And I think they met at BYU. There's a lot of indicators.
Yeah. Right,
the
right,
Mormon
right.
light is shining.
Interesting that they're not embracing that label though.
Yeah, it was. I found it interesting to me that like she's definitely not like Mormon forward, but like one
closeted Mormon.
Yeah, closeted Mormon, but like I think that we can safely say that she is in a religious community that is Mormon adjacent.
Right.
So this is her page. She's JoJo Joelle or Courtney _ Joelle, 38,400 followers. As you can see, her bio reads housewife princess.
Mm.
And she is going mega, mega viral. So this is from the New York Times. Echoing the adherence of trad wife culture and other conservative trends, Ms. Palmer, who has been a stay-at-home mother for nearly a year, said she has been cultivating a community of women on the internet who felt misunderstood for their desire to lean into, quote, femininity. They felt so much pressure with the girl boss era to be a working mom or a working woman, she said, and they have to be so masculine just to get through the world. So that's her content. And as you can see, she has a 29-part series called Princess Treatment.
Right.
Where she discusses how to get your man to treat you like a quote unquote princess. A lot of this is like, never open a jar for yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
And also like, always have your nails done. Like, it's like a weird amalgamation in some stuff where... It's a weird amalgamation, again, of some stuff where it's like, okay, sure, yeah, I guess if you want to do that, do that. And then we get to this video, which has gone mega, mega viral. We're going to watch a good amount of it because, you do kind of have to see the full scope of what she's saying here.
I'm nervous.
So here we go. This is the infamous Princess Treatment video.
Princess Treatment, if you're at a restaurant and how you interact with the wait staff and the hostess. If I am at a restaurant with my husband, I do not talk to the hostess. I do not open any doors and I do not order my own food. So someone had sent me a message a couple weeks ago asking about, like, let's say your husband drops you off and he goes to park the car, what do you do? Or if it's raining or something like that, and he wants you to put your name down. And I had a very similar situation happen to me with my husband a couple weeks ago. I'll put her question on the screen so you can see exactly what she's saying. But we pulled up, me and my husband pulled up to a restaurant, and he wanted to run in and see, we didn't have a reservation. He wanted to run in. Well, we didn't have a reservation, so we wanted to go up and see if it was possible for us to get in. He pulled the car up at the valet station. I stayed in the car. He got out of the car, told the valet, I'm just going to run in and ask a question. I'm going to leave my car here. I sat in the car while he ran in and asked them. They said, yeah, we have space for you. And my husband said, okay, I'm going to go get my wife, and then I'm going to park the car. So he comes back out, opens my car door, walks me into the restaurant, opens the door, and I stand and wait. I did not make eye contact with the hostess. I did not talk to her. I waited until my husband came back. He comes back, does the exchange with her, and then we went and sat down. Let's say it's raining. You already have a reservation, okay? Your husband's going to pull you up to the restaurant. He's going to get out, open your door. He's going to walk you to the restaurant door, open the door, and walk you in. He's probably then going to leave to go park the car, or he's going to go exchange whatever he needs to do with the valet. You're just going to stand in the lobby or whatever the space is, and you're going to wait for your husband to come back. You're not going to go up to the hostess and give the reservation name. You're not going to talk to her. This isn't out of like a, I'm better than them and I don't need to talk to them and I don't need to, you know, it's not in any sense like you're better than the hostess. You're just letting your husband lead and be masculine. He made the reservation. He's taking you out. Let him do the logistics. You're just being a princess. It's not because you're being hoity-toity. You're just letting your husband lead and letting him take care of it. So if I don't even know another situation where you would need to be dropped off. Usually there's a valet so you can both get out together. But again, like, you don't need to feel awkward about it. Another huge part of the princess treatment is, I don't know if we specifically talked about this, but the over need to like talk and fill space. Like, you don't need to talk unless you are spoken to. And then if you are spoken to and they ask, you could just say, oh, I'm just waiting for my husband, and then he'll be able to give the reservation. Or you can say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm not sure. My husband will be back, and then you can ask him. You can say it in a very soft and feminine way. I know this is going to be ripped apart. People just take things seriously such the wrong way, but that's how I would handle it. And then let's just go farther into, so if you're sitting down, you're ordering. In New York, for the most part, the waiter would come up. They would ask, you know, whatever. My husband would start to speak, and then the waiter would address them, and the waiter would get the hint and only then interact with my husband. Here in Salt Lake, they don't quite get it. I think they think that I'm like being, you know, oppressed or I don't know.
We can cut it here. Wow. We've gotten everything we need out of that.
Oh my God.
Thoughts on what we just received?
It's giving old Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
We used to have a family friend that was so religious. Like, she used to cover, she's wearing the niqab, okay?
Yeah, which is where your eyes are covered.
Where it's like your whole face is covered, eyes. Just your eyes are showing. But she would even wear like a see-through kind of part. And then whenever they would come over, we would split the whole house. We would put curtains between like the living room and the kitchen and the family room. And like, so men on one side and women on the other side.
Even inside the house?
Inside the house, yeah. Because then she wants to take it off so that she can just chill with the girlies and eat and whatever. So whenever her husband would come to try and call her, like through the curtain, he would call her by his own name. Because he felt like saying her name in front of like other men to hear was like, immoral or
that's
like
sexually. Very offred, like, not to always bring things to Handmaid's Tale.
No,
but like,
it is though.
That
it's giving him
what it is.
Yeah,
offred off. Yeah, that's how they named people in Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. Right,
they wouldn't give the women names. It would be like, but yeah, that's how I heard it's. It, you're saying Saudi Arabia. So I knew this woman, you know, I'm Dominican, but this woman that I knew, her husband is Haitian.
Okay.
And she said she didn't know her mother-in-law's name until she was passed away, because she would always go by her husband's name. And only at the funeral did they say like, oh yeah, Elizabeth or whatever.
Whoa.
Like, but that is a very like thing.
It's giving that. And then also like, it's like, I won't say anything. I won't speak. I don't know anything. Like, did you lose your brain? Like, yeah. It's like, what it's... part is that you're letting someone pamper you? And then what part is it that you lose, like, your entire, I don't know, what do you say, like, embodiment as a human being?
Yeah. What's so funny to me is her being like, you're not being hoity-toity. You're just being a princess. Right. And I'm like, okay, that's insane. The fact that you think that letting the man lead to you means that you can't even tell the hostess your reservation information.
It just seems like so much work.
I know. Like,
to play dumb, you have to play so dumb. Right. That, that's active. That takes active work for me to, like, be like, just really suppress myself.
No,
princess treatment is when he pays.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, that's, so exactly. That's the thing. So
he just has to pay
and make the reservation and drive me. That's great.
Yeah,
that's,
like,
I'll make princess the reservation
because men don't have good taste.
Tell him where you want to go. Like,
we're going here at this time. I'm getting out of the car because that's quicker.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give my name because I want to sit and eat bread before you park the car 5 blocks away.
Yeah,
but
so
you're paying.
Like, let's get into the responses. So this video currently has 7.2 million views.
Whoa.
And as you can imagine, the reactions are pretty much what we just talked about here. So these are some of the comments. Princesses are pampered, taken care of, and catered to, but princesses also make eye contact and are kind and personable.
Right.
This next comment, me when I'm a prisoner.
That's so funny.
Princess treatment? I'm looking for the queen treatment. Queens speak for themselves.
Exactly.
How would someone order for you be, how would having someone order for you being considered princess treatment? As a princess, I want what I want when I want it, not what someone else wants me to have.
Right.
Quote, don't make eye contact with the hostess. It's giving cult or hostage situation. So people are like, immediately not into this video. She gets a nickname, which is something that we've talked about is never good. They start calling her Princess Collarbone because of the way she's, like, weirdly extending her neck to show her collarbone.
I was
going to
say, there's some, like, Pearl Anna, like, this also woman, and I feel like it's interconnected. Like, she's very skinny. And in everything, she's really showing her thin, thin arms, which is, like, a signal for...
Dainty princess, right? She's, that's supposed to be like the...
She's very clearly like popping her neck out in a specific way so that you can see the like contours of her collarbone. So people are calling her Princess Collarbone. People are stitching her. Former guest of the pod, Meredith Lynch, has been like covering this like crazy and doing a bunch of stitches and videos about it. It leads to a secondary trend where women have their boyfriends or partners or husbands or whatever sit in a chair and then they list out things that are either princess treatment or bare minimum. And if he gets it wrong and says princess treatment for bare minimum, you spray him with a hose. Which I'm like, that rocks.
I love how this has turned into like just these men getting hosed down who have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's like literally not as like this guy, it did not involve himself, but it is. Those videos are very funny. So, okay, this conversation has gone a bunch of different routes. She does have her defenders who are like, you guys are bullying her. But I'm like, I don't think that stitching a video that you actually posted on the platform where you posted it is bullying.
I'm just also like, if this woman doesn't want to talk to someone at Red Lobster, that's her right. It's like,
that's just so stupid. Well, that's also the thing too, is there are people who are like, women are allowed to have whatever relationship models they want, and like, you can be soft and feminine. And I'm like, totally. But what a lot of people are actually responding to is the idea that she doesn't speak to wait staff and won't look them in the eye and won't answer a direct question from your hostess or the valet or like.
And you're committing so much to the bit that now you're starting to forego your own wants and preferences.
Yes.
Because you're,
but that's princess.
That's why I agree. I'm like, I'm such a brat. I'll be like, I specifically want this food or like this drink, and I want it like when I want it, as in like, don't order it before I, or like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm, I don't know. I have specific preferences.
Yes. That- also, by her own admission, she is doing this to a level that the wait staff in Salt Lake City is finding it weird.
Right. Like, shouldn't they accommodate?
Yeah. But also, like, those people have a high tolerance for weird.
Exactly.
I thought it was funny that I was like, well, I guess in New York, restaurants are so busy. They're like, yeah, I don't know what fucking weirdness is going on. I don't even care. I don't even think it's like cultural, because I'm like, if the wait staff in Salt Lake City is finding your dynamic weird, that's a red flag to me. So. Okay.
For time's sake. Basically, what has happened since then, this went super viral, 7.2 million views, stitches on stitches, alternate trends being happening. So over the weekend, I guess what I will say is that this video was posted on June 21st. This has continued, this discourse. Over the weekend, Courtney did an interview in People magazine out on July 5th.
People magazine.
Where she addresses the criticism. I know. Well, for anyone who doesn't know, People magazine is like where you go if you have hired a PR person who wants your story to get out.
Yeah.
Like, so in this article, she says that she was completely blindsided by the response, which is wild because in the video, she says people are going to get mad that I'm saying this.
Right. Yeah.
So how could you be? Maybe you're blindsided by the fact that you're at 7.2 mil.
That's probably what.
But this is a thing that like always bothers me with these types of influencers who post rage bait, which this is rage bait to an extent. You say within the video, this is a hot take or people aren't going to like this. And then when people don't like it, you're like, everyone's mad at me. And
right.
Like,
what? It reminds me of like unpopular opinion. Fat people should not do Pilates.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, why is everyone so mad?
Yeah, everyone's being really mean to me.
And it's like, I thought you said hot take, bitch.
Right.
So she says that, she also goes on to say that anyone who thinks that she doesn't speak or that she doesn't talk to wait staff is taking the video out of context, which is crazy because she says, the video.
What's the context? Like, so what the Muslim woman said in the first video where she's like, you guys are taking this domestic abuse out of context.
That is the context.
No, the context is that you posted a video where you said to camera, I don't speak to wait staff at restaurants.
That's the only example she gave.
Yeah. Like she was, it's just wild. She's like, well, you guys didn't. Her thing, I guess, is like, well, you guys haven't watched my whole 29 part series. And it's like,
we're not watching that.
I will not be doing that. There is a really great article on Jezebel that breaks it down. If you want to do that, it's by the writer Claire Ginnon. If you want to hear from someone who did watch all that, you can. I'm not doing that. I'm talking about what you posted with your face coming out of your mouth saying, I don't talk to wait staff. So she told people, I speak, I laugh, I make decisions in my life.
Wow.
We go out and we have lovely dinners. I enjoy the grace of my husband taking the lead, confirming the reservation he made. He pulls out my chair, orders for me after I've decided what I'd like to eat. It's not control. It's care. And then she says that upon reviewing the analytics of her video, most people only watched the first 30 seconds. So they were missing the context. Again, you say yourself that this happened. Princess treatment isn't about how someone else is showing up for you. It's about how you carry yourself, how you hold your boundaries, the way you move through the world knowing you're the prize. The world learns to treat you that way. Your softness isn't giving anyone control over you. It's giving a partner space to lead with that strength. When I'm leading into my grace, I invite him to rise to that as protector, as a provider, a partner, because that's what he wants to do. It works in a perfect balance and becomes that effortless, graceful, calm, peaceful life.
Jesus Christ.
So
in a few months we see his picture on the tea app.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
I'm just thinking really quickly. So I have a friend, black Afro-Latino woman from the Bronx. She went to college like in New England and she's like, I used to bully the white boy so bad. There was this one guy I used to pick on him and be like, hey, come over to my room, get me a barbecue chicken calzone and come eat my pussy now. And she's like, he would come over right away. With the calzone.
That's what I respond to. Dom energy. Yeah, Dom energy. I love that.
I'm like, there's nothing more. What, you're not going to say hi to a waitress? No, it's like, come over and eat my pussy now.
Exactly. It's like,
that's the princess treatment.
That's the princess treatment we all want.
There's a version of princess treatment that reminds me of like the sprinkle woman it's very, it's about being served by your man who cares about you and whatever. Do I subscribe to all of that? No, not really.
She's
a little more
tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, she's like joking a lot of times too. Like she has a funny edge to her. But again, I think that what this woman in her response and what her like weird defenders are missing is that the reason this video got to 7.2 million views viral isn't because she was making regular trad wife content that's like, you should let your man hold the doors for you. That's not why this video went viral. the video went viral because she's talking about very weird and in the terms of Amaya from Love Island, being a very odd individual who won't talk to waitstaff or look them in the face or just tell someone the reservation is for this person. Like, that is actually, you're now annoying other people. Because if I'm a hostess at a busy restaurant and I'm like, what's the name on the reservation? And she's like, my husband can tell you that when I get inside. I'd be like, bitch, I'm trying to run a restaurant. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Playing Dom and like having someone else speak for you. Like, these are like the prisoner Handmaid's Tale elements and themes that are really like giving me the ick.
Yeah. If you want him to drive and like make the reservation and you like when he orders for you, that's fucking fine. But if the hostess asks you what name is the reservation under and you actually have that information because it's your name, just say your name.
And also, like, doing that's weird. You're involving everyone in your weird fetish.
Yeah.
Then you're, like, talking about it online.
Weird fetish is correct.
Yeah, it's like your weird little fetish shit. Like, bitch, this is a red lobster. Like, I cannot stress enough. Well, one of the criticisms is, like, this bitch has an apartment. Like, she's not rich. She's just another Mormon woman. Like, it's not like she's living this great lifestyle. So it's like, they're not going to super nice restaurants.
Yeah. I did see someone post that they're like, she's doing this at Applebee's. Like, this is crazy.
Because you're saying like valet. And I'm like,
valet don't mean nothing. They got valet.
That's for true.
Yeah.
Times Square has valet.
There's valet. I mean, come on.
Yeah. You can valet to the Times Square Olive Garden, I bet.
Well,
So for the crime of posting about your weird fetish, basically, knowing that it's going to piss people off, and then acting completely blindsided when it did piss people off, and for the subcrime of acting fucking weird to your waiters who are trying to work, we must say, Courtney Palmer,
go touch grass. That's our episode.
Sama, we have talked about so much amazing content, podcasting, everything from you. Please tell our listeners where they can find it themselves.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, where men be loving me, at selma.hindi, the one right under Selma Hayek. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the podcast coming out, we're recording it right now. It's at The Secret Sex Lives of Muslim Women.
Amazing. Yes. Well, everyone, please go listen to that. You can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram, at Elise Navidad on TikTok. Shout out to the 3 20-year-olds who I met on the subway platform this past week who followed me on TikTok because it's a whole thing. I was holding a bow and arrow for a show and they were like, why do you have a bow and arrow? And I was like, it's for a show. I'm a comedian. And this girl said to me, wait, you're low-key funny-coded. And shout out to them. Yes. They are following me at Elise Navidad on TikTok. And you can follow this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. We are low-key funny-coded here as well.
We are high-key funny-coded. We are high-key funny-coded. You can follow me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and on TikTok and on Twitter at Millie Tamaris, because I'm still there because my mental health is bad. And until next time,
Go Touch Grass!
Go Touch Grass is created and hosted by Elise Morales and Millie Tamaris.
Recording and sound production by My Friend's Basement Studio, and our theme song is by Doug Weidick.